Yeah, all right, let's look through that window of baseball on a beautiful day around the Bay Area. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Good. Not seeing more than 30 feet through the fog down here, but I'm sure it's beautiful everywhere else.
That's true. Hey, we love the tweeting of Henry Shulman. I find it the best that's on the internet. I really do.
Yeah,
other than the fake Ray Fossey, I like that one too. But I will tell you, your response to him today, Henry was moaning and groaning, which Henry has a habit of doing, about the length of the national anthem that the person is practicing at Chase Field down there. And you said you've encountered that before, and you had an interesting comment.
Yeah, it wasn't the practice. It was the real thing. It was Shea Stadium several years ago, and it was this wretched, interminable, distasteful anthem started to unfold, and I knew it was going to go on for a while, and I figured, I think I've got time to get down to get down to a spot where I can yell at these some kind of group. I don't even know what it was. So the elevator at Shea Stadium, you'd wait about an hour for it to even get there. So I had to run down a bunch of ramps, and I'm winded, and I finally get down to the field level, and I'm right above the area. And as they're walking off, I shouted, "Awful, horrible! Get off the field!" I couldn't resist. There's a little shade of my dad there. He had no tolerance for incompetence in music.
Well, you got that Berkeley flavor about you. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't put up with anything, but. Very good. You know, it's interesting. We touch on this every once in a while, but the national anthem, of course, is now such a polarizing song, and how everybody treats it. And we've talked a little bit, about baseball. We don't see it, the Kaepernick issue in baseball, and baseball's always been tied into the military and all that. But I wonder what the future is of the national anthem vis-a-vis sports, if that's going to change.
Yeah, well, I think as far as people protesting during the anthem, it's too ambiguous, I think, to have any staying power, because you don't know exactly what the message is being sent. What do they mean? Are they talking about the military? Are they talking about the country? It's so much more effective to do things, in a direct way, to, reach out to police interests and, literally speak out against police brutality and all the things that Kaepernick in particular is talking about, and a number of athletes as well. I think there are many ways to do it and let yourself be known without protesting during the anthem and confusing a lot of people as to what you're trying to say. My stance, and Ann Killian wrote about this recently, I don't really get the point of playing it every single night at our sporting events, and because people I don't mean to demean a war veteran who very proudly puts his hand to his heart and might be singing along with it and really feels a surge of pride. But there's such a contrast between the sort of tedium of that and at the Olympics. If a U.S. runner, wins an event or anyone wins anything, and they get up on that podium and they play the national anthem, it's really powerful.
Yes.
That's when it has a lot of weight. But I mean, I've covered events all over Europe, and they never play it over there. Like at Wimbledon, I mean, they know what country they're in over there. It's just, I think it's much more powerful when it comes at you at a perfect moment instead of every single night when it sort of loses its appeal.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that's why I asked the question, and I think something will change as we move forward, because the song represents what the country should stand for.
Yeah.
And as you say, there's so many offshoots of things that maybe people object to, and it's not coming across clearly just by protesting the song and the country. And you may agree with 95%, but 5% you don't agree with, and it's your way to do it, but it does get confused. And I think you're right about that. The other thing is with the national anthem, and I may have mentioned it before, but it was played before every baseball game beginning in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the World War II, and of course what was going on then, and of course the whole country was enveloped in World War II, and everyone was either in the military, working in a factory that provided materials for the military, whatever, and the song became part of the rallying cry for the troops in the Pacific or Europe. So that's when it got played all the time, And we didn't have football to that extent, the NBA or anything else. So baseball became the vehicle for the song, and baseball has just never gotten away from it. And now, as we get through more of life and we're more outspoken, the song becomes that symbol. But that's how it all started, and that's why it started, because of World War II.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't around then, but I can just imagine, you know, the spirit in the stadium when that was played every night. Absolutely, I mean, the feeling of pride in the country was pretty much universal. I mean, there weren't these anti-war factions that we get now over any war we've had, you know, since I've been alive. And it's just, I don't know.
No, it's not a protest of people in the military. That's where that's where everyone gets it wrong. It's not a protest.
You know,
that's the one thing. You respect everybody, but it's how they got there and why they're there and what goes on within the country. That's the issue. So that's where everything gets lost. And unfortunately, the song gets in the middle of it.
Yeah, and I'm sure for years after the war, song still carried a lot of meaning, mm-hmm. because there was still this ongoing sense of tremendous pride in the country and what had been accomplished and how everyone was moving on in grand fashion and it's just after a while it sort of lost that, which is understandable.
Well, that's our sermon for today. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. but thanks for engaging in that with me, because I've been thinking about it and I'm glad that we could at least talk about it. All right, let's talk Giants baseball a little bit. Last night, Parker, two big hits for him, Bruce, and one was off a curveball. I'm just not, and Andy was on with us earlier today, Andy Bagley. I'm just not sure how you fit him into the picture next year. What do you do with him?
Well, that's a really good question. I think a lot depends on this kid in the minor leagues. Does he pronounce it Duggar? Duggar?
Steven Duggar, yeah.
Steven Duggar. He's a guy that I keep hearing about what a sensational player this guy is. And if he's been hurt and he's just sort of getting back on track, but he's playing well now. And, you know, you never know about guys that you hear in the minor leagues, but you hear something and you get hope because the outfield is in a bit of a shambles. And let's just say that, you know, if he's for real and he's going to get a real shot, he's a center fielder. You know, if they'll probably still have Span. He's a tough guy to sit down with his veteran status, and they might look at him to be the left fielder. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'd almost rather see Parker myself. He's a young guy. He's on the rise. He's got a lot of potential, good arm, can chase the ball, and has a lot of power. But I don't see them putting Span back in center field. So that's a bit of a complication there. If for some reason Sandoval is the everyday third baseman and Christian Arroyo looks like he's going to be able to hit, you know, he could play out there. So, I mean, right now it's a good time for Parker because he's getting most or all of the starts. And I think if he keeps this up and hits with some regularity and keeps that power going, it'd be hard to deny him a real shot at that next spring.
Yeah, and that's why he's here now. That's why he's playing every day. And he's not disappointing. I mean, as Andy said, when he gets cold, it lasts a bit. But when he gets hot, you know, 9 for 15, and then he is a guy who can hit it off the wall and hit it 440 feet. They don't have many people like that. So I like what I see so far. With
definitely.
Him. Yeah. So Stratton goes today. And again, Stratton, different than Block. You know, Block, when he gets in trouble, can't strike out. He's got to pitch the ball perfectly. This guy has a curveball to keep you off balance. Arizona's got to win a game today. Stanton and the Marlins are already winning. Colorado, I think, is winning already over the Braves. So Arizona with Corbin against Stratton, this becomes an interesting game.
Yeah, so many of the Giants games suddenly take on some meaning as they're playing teams that are in this desperate, you know, wild card race. Which makes it a lot more interesting. But, yeah, Stratton is he's a real interesting case. I mean, he certainly hasn't been daunted by the notion of pitching in the big leagues. That curveball is a godsend. It's a real good one. I mean, there's no mystery to that. It's a great pitch. And, you know, I think between Stratton and Block, who has had a little rocky times, but he's pretty much he's a likable character. He can pitch. He can hit a little bit.
Yeah.
He fits in. So, I mean, those are two guys who could be in the rotation if for some reason Matt Moore doesn't work out or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some guys who can step into the rotation, and I really don't see that being a big issue, you know, given that Cueto's back, Bumgarner, You know, I personally hope Samardzija is back too. You throw a couple kids in there, and then you focus on other things.
Yeah, and he's pitching today in a live yard. Yeah. They talked about it last night. Like, it's like playing on Highway 101. You know, the way the ball, you know, just it really does take off in that infield. So
yeah.
You know, so let's see what you know. He needs a good defense behind him. And we'll see what he can do today. But it becomes an interesting game for me today. Corbin is a lefty. He's pitched well. And Sandoval is in the lineup today, so we get a look at that.
They have to do that. I mean, if they're really serious about him having a future with the team, they've got to play him against lefties and see if he has anything left as a right-handed hitter, because there's no evidence that he does, only the memories of years past. So, you know, if he wraps out a couple hits and shows he can hit right-handed, that's a tremendous boost to his case, because he's a switch hitter. He's been a switch hitter his whole life, and he has to continue to be a switch hitter.
The National League, which kind of was a little boring, really. Washington ran away with it. The Dodgers ran away with it. The Cubs are sort of starting to open up a little ground in the Central. But the possibility of this wild card thing with the Marlins coming out of nowhere with Stanton, you know, get it 60. Arizona all of a sudden has a rotation. Colorado, as FP Jr. pointed out to me, let's say they're the wild card team and they win that game. You got to play them there, you know, which becomes something else. And the Brewers can pitch, and they have this kid, Eric Thames, who I love. We had him on today. I think the National League just became interesting to me.
Yeah, well, that's definitely where it's at. Along with the Cubs and Brewers thing in the Central, the Cubs won 17-2 yesterday, despite another homer by Reese Hoskins. But I think the Cubs are going to prevail there. They're just too good. They're the better team than Milwaukee. But all those wild card contenders are appealing in their way. I mean, the Diamondbacks are fun to watch hit, and they bring the heavy bearded Archie Bradley out of the bullpen, and they've got a little something going down there. And Colorado, that goes without saying, trying to face that lineup. You know, Miami, again, it's a tremendous crowd appeal there. The Cardinals are great because they're the Cardinals. And Milwaukee, like you say, they can pitch, and they've got some power. So I hope that goes right down to the final week with those five teams.
Yeah, and anybody who gets in, you know, someone is going to win, and someone's going to play the Dodgers in a five-game series, and it could be in a crazy place like Colorado.
Yeah.
It could be against a pitching staff like Arizona, which has decent pitching, and you get the Rodney at the end of the game shooting arrows. You get him, and you know, then you get the, you know, so we don't have to go through all the teams again, but each one presents a challenge to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, you could imagine Greinke outdueling Kershaw in the opener, and all of a sudden, hey, what, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, it became interesting to me, which it was a race that wasn't, but the Brewers hanging in the car and Miami getting back into it said, okay, this is September baseball. Maybe they can hang in there with it. So we'll see.
I hope Miami is one of the teams, because they are very, very watchable. Aside from Stan, who might wind up with 60, that would make it especially good. But we were speaking yesterday about the attractiveness of their lineup. They don't have a lot of pitching, but they're just really fun to watch. And with the new ownership coming in, it'd be pretty terrific to get them in the playoff, even if it's just one game.
We had John Leonidakis on earlier today talking about women in baseball, and he's done some documentaries on it. And I got an email that I'm going to share with you because I'm just reading. I said, Bruce would appreciate this. This is from John Kelly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marty, what the hell? You go along for a while and you make a lot of sense. Then you have to go and try to be Mr. Inclusive. What the hell is it about traditions that you're bound and determined to try to change? Haven't you figured it out yet that women already screwed up the entire country?
What?
Now you want to let them screw up baseball? Will you just do your job and report on your eliminated Giants instead of trying to screw up everything? Women don't belong in men's professional baseball, football, basketball, or other damn men's sport. For that matter, what? You figure because Billie Jean King was allowed to beat Bobby Riggs that now they're all primed and ready to play against men? Just leave baseball alone, Marty. We like it the way it is. John Kelly.
Well, thanks, John. You took the words out of my mouth. I couldn't agree more. No. Oh, my God.
Well,
I don't know where to start with that one.
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, something, this is the world.
Hey, we should let a woman run the country. Might things make things right again.
It could be different. But
yeah.
That's why I love this show, honestly, because, you know, people can express their opinions. So
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I mean, you have so much patience with the John Kellys of the world, and that's I think I'd be back at Shea Stadium yelling at the anthem people.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that. That'll be our Sunday. But how's your Sunday? What's cooking today?
Oh, it's good. My wife and daughter were up in Tahoe for a wedding. They're coming back this evening, and so I'm going to be watching a lot of baseball. And I don't really watch much Little League World Series, but I like it when it gets down to the end. I watched the two games yesterday, and I'll check that out today, and along with the 49ers. So a lot going on today here.
Oh, terrific. Well, a pleasure speaking with you. And the Cardinals are in next week. That's always fun. So
absolutely.
We'll have two good shows next week. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Take care. All right.